want to thank Robert for that song. Came over and asked how could he help, and that song surely did. My lesson tonight is entitled The Value of the Soul. As the song said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And in this lesson, value of the soul, I want to try and help us all understand better how the soul is looked at by God, and the importance of the soul. The value of the soul is the title. And my lesson text comes from Mark 8, chapter, verses 36 and 37. And I just want to say before I begin that I want to thank Dave and Brian also for, you know, their classes in trying to put forth the Lord's word and making sure that you do it in the right way. I want to thank them. But Mark, chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. It reads, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man gain in exchange for his soul? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now, these question marks, and it sounds rhetorical, it's not asking for a reply, but it's asking for something else. And the something else is to ask ourselves, being Christians or not being a Christian, and trying to get to that point, our soul. We all have souls. So we have to ask ourselves. Well, we don't really have to ask ourselves, because it's nothing that we can give. It's nothing that we can give. The soul is the only thing that will leave this life of ours. The soul, our souls. We are living in a commercial age in which values are discussed very freely. The only true valuable possession anyone will have when they leave this life is their soul. Of all the things that could possibly be achieved or acquired in this life, soul is most important. The soul is the most valuable possession one has. Let's turn over to John chapter 6 and verses 27. John chapter 6 and the verse is 27. It says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. The Father has set his seal on the Son. Eternal life is not something to be achieved, but to be received by faith in Christ Jesus. The same Christ Jesus that died on the cross for our sins and our shortcomings. He gave his life when we were not worthy for him to give his life for us. When we were still in our sins, Jesus gave his life for us. We must remember things like that. But today we're talking about the value of the soul. When we see a baby in a manger in Bethlehem, and as the story in Matthew, the second chapter, tells us, we are given a glimpse of the value of the soul. For he came to save the soul. We're talking about Jesus. Let's look at Matthew 1, first chapter, Matthew, first chapter, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus came to save each and every one of us, because we all have souls. We all have a soul to save. We all have a soul to be concerned over. But if we can just align our lives with Jesus, we won't have so much worry in our life. Because he came to save his people from their sins. He came to save our souls. Eternal life is not something to be achieved, but to be received. Well, that's too far back. Let's go to Luke 19 and verse 10. Let's look over there and see what that has for us. Luke 19 and the verse is 10. It says, Luke 19 verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." We all have a concern because our souls were lost and destined for eternal hell had Jesus not come. I want to look at this verse a little bit deeper. And when we look deeper into this verse, we see that his design was to save when there was no salvation in any other. Jesus Christ was the only one that could save us. He seeks those who sought him not and asked not for him. He seeks those who sought him not and asked not for him. We didn't look for Jesus and we didn't ask for him. Jesus came and was that sacrificial lamb that we all needed, that our souls might have a chance at eternal life. When we read the story of the lost sheep, we better understand the value of the soul. Look at Luke chapter 15 with me. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 persons who need no repentance." The Lord is looking for one. He's looking for one. Are you that one? Are you that one? He's looking for you. We read the Bible, and the Bible will help us immensely, but we have to believe it. We have to believe that the Bible would do what it says it would do. The story of the prodigal son shows the value the father placed upon a lost soul. The father in the parable was joyous when his son came home. He put shoes on his feet. He put a ring on his hand. He killed the fatted calf. He made all things ready that they might celebrate his son that had come home and that was lost. Our Father in heaven would most certainly have the same joy if we are lost and we were to come home to him. Or we are not his children and was to put on Christ in baptism, he would be joyous. If one was to turn his or her life over to him, the Lord would be joyous. The story of the rich man and Lazarus teaches the everlasting value of the soul. Let's look at Luke 19. Luke 19. Rather, Luke 16. I'm sorry. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. And there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you receive your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." Then he said, "I beg you therefore, Lord, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he might testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one raised from the dead, rise from the dead. So, you know, this says that we have a space and time, and we need to take advantage of that space and time, which is now, to turn our lives over to the Lord. We need not worry about those things past or those things that are in the future. We need to be concerned right now, because the word is being presented to you right now. When you hear Christ pray in Gethsemane, in Matthew 26, 36 through 56, you hear words which testify to the value of the soul. This was the night before Jesus' crucifixion. And Jesus was in the garden, and he was praying, and he had three of his disciples with him, but they couldn't stay awake. They couldn't stay awake. And the Lord was about to be put into the hands of the betrayer, Judas. And it was time, and Gethsemane is an example of the value of the soul, because his prayers brought sweat, his drops of blood. And we talk about the blood in our morning class, and this was a blood that cleanses the sins of all those who would turn their lives over to Jesus Christ. We need that every day. I made a comment this morning about the blood cleansing us every day. We need to pray every day. If the blood is to cleanse us every day, we need to pray every day for that cleansing. When you see the crucifixion in Matthew 27, verses 26 through 54, you see a scene which pictures the value of the soul. We hear men, when they're doing the table, giving a description of the things that Jesus Christ went through on that day of crucifixion, how he was beaten to a point where he was unrecognizable, and that he still had to try and carry the cross. The cross that he bare for us. For our sins were on that cross. Our faults and shortcomings were on that cross. Let's turn over to Romans 5, verses 8. Says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, in different stages of knowing the Lord. Some know Him as our as Father. They are His children. Some may not know Him that way. But you look at this verse and you see that this is for everyone. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2. Start at verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast to that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain." Hold fast to the word. The word will hold you up. If you hear the word and the opportunity passes you, this will be believing in vain, I say. When you see Him ascending into heaven in Acts 1 and verses 9 and through 11, let's look over there. Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. You have it. Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. "Now when He had spoken these things while they watched, He was taken up in a cloud, received Him out of their sight." He was taken up in a cloud, received Him out of their sight. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. So when you see Him ascending into heaven, you see more proof of the great value of the soul. You see more proof of the great value of the soul. Look at John with me. John 14, verses 1 through 6. John 14, verses 1 through 6. Where it says, John 14, verses 1 through 6, where it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself. Where I am, there you may go also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." When we take a look at the judgment, in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. We are impressed with the importance of the soul. I'm finishing up. We are impressed with the importance of the soul. Look at Revelations with me. Revelations 20. Revelations 20, verses 12, 14, and 15. Revelations 20, verses 12, 14, and 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Verse 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You can no more estimate the value of the soul than you can estimate the value of going to heaven and escaping hell. Death reminds us of the eternal value of the soul. This is it. Death reminds us of the eternal value of the soul. This is the end of the sermon. This is the end of the lesson. And it's death reminds us of the eternal value of the soul. Read with me Revelations chapter 9. Revelations chapter 9. No, I said Revelations. Hebrews, I'm sorry. Hebrews. I was in Revelations. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, and as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this the judgment. We all have an appointment with death. We all have appointment with death. We all have souls. We all have an appointment with death. We can not go to our doctor's appointment. We cannot go to our dentist appointment. But we have an appointment that we must be at. I'll say this. One more scripture and then I'll finish up. We'll finish. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 5 and verse 7. Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is burdened. The grasshopper is a burden, and desire falls. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. It does not matter where your walk is with Christ. If you're walking with Him at all, or if you're walking with Him at all, you must understand this lesson, the lesson of the value of the soul. You've heard the gospel. It's talked about in Romans 10, verse 17. Do you believe it? Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Are you willing to repent of your sins? Confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repentance is talked about in Luke
chapter 13, verse 5, and Acts 17, verse 30. Confession is talked about in Matthew 10, verse 32, and Acts 8,
verse 36.
And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Arise a new creature and walk with our Savior. Headed towards a home in heaven. That's my lesson tonight. Pray that if it touched someone's heart, you will come forward. And at this time, if you are not a child of God, you can be one today. You can put him on in Christ. Put him on in baptism. If you fall in a guilty distance away, you can come back, reunite with the Lord. You can do that as we stand and sing our song of invitation.